together again. But if wherever you are this morning, just welcome you in Jesus' name and pray that you'll be blessed with the Word of God this morning and just be blessed with the teaching. And I'm just going to share some things with you and to encourage you from the Word of God. So just pray that God will just teach you His Word, encourage you with His Word, and that the Lord will be glorified in what we do this morning. Just the question has been in my mind this week, and I just thought we'd have a look at this morning. And the question is, who is Jesus? And, you know, some people have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is, and who does the Bible say He is? Who do people say He is? Who do His disciples say He is? Some people think that Jesus is just a wonderful teacher. He brought us some really good principles, some really good teaching. He's a great moral teacher. You know, He taught us to love one another. He taught us to encourage one another. He taught us to love God. You know, He brought us great teaching. Some people say He's a great religious leader. And, you know, He came to show us, you know, the way to the Father. And Jesus came to show us a better way, to how to live a better life. And so many people are of different opinions who Jesus is. Some people just think he was a prophet. Some religions think He's a prophet. Some people think that He's just a nice person, a kind person who came into our world. But I want us to have a look this morning at what the Bible says who Jesus is. And why did He come? And why is He here? Why has He come to reveal Himself to us? And we see that Jesus is born in Bethlehem to Jewish parents in Israel. And He lives a life and works as a carpenter, as His father is a carpenter. And there are many historical accounts that are mentioned in the Gospels and other writings that verify that Jesus lived on the earth. And also we see alongside Jesus is what we know in the Bible as a forerunner. And so the forerunner in the Bible is John the Baptist. And he is Jesus' cousin. And he's 6 months older than Jesus. And he is leading the way in preparing for the Messiah to come. Preparing for Jesus Christ to come. And so John has a very important ministry, John the Baptist. He is a forerunner. He is preparing the way for Christ to come. He's got a very important ministry. In fact, the Bible says that none of the prophets that have ever lived were ever as great as John. And we look at the ministry of Elijah, and we look at the ministry of Elisha and Moses and their lives and David and the prophets that lived in the past and had the many miracles they did. They raised people from the dead. They did incredible things. But the Bible says that nobody was as great as John the Baptist. He was the greatest prophet before Jesus came. And so He came to prepare the way. And on one occasion, Jesus had to fulfill all righteousness, the Bible says. He had to go and be baptized by John. And he was going down towards the river. And John the Baptist said, look, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, we need to fulfill all righteousness. You need to be baptizing me. And the Bible says that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. That river still exists today. And many people have been down to the river there to be baptized where Jesus was baptized. So Jesus Himself was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. But the amazing thing the Bible tells us is that when Jesus came up out of the water, is that heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit came on Him like a dove. And we see that this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that heaven is open and the Holy Spirit comes down and rests upon Jesus. And so Jesus begins His ministry from this time forward after His baptism. In fact, the Bible says that He goes straight into the desert. The Spirit leads Him into the desert for 6 weeks, fasting and praying for 6 weeks. I don't know about you, but fasting is a tough thing on the flesh. Maybe you've done 6 hours, maybe 6 days, but 6 weeks, 40 days, 40 nights, that's a lot of fasting. That's pretty powerful stuff just to even get through that in the desert with the wild animals. And the Bible says that Satan was tempting Him. It was a time of temptation, it was a time of testing for His life and for His ministry. And so straight after that testing, the Bible says the angels came to minister to Jesus, and then He went and He started His ministry. In fact, the Bible says He started preaching straight away, and he came with a very simple message. I don't know if any of you remember what Jesus came when he was preaching, but John the Baptist was very similar in his preaching. Jesus said, "Repent or perish." That was the word. That was his preaching message. He said, you have to repent. If you don't, you will all likewise perish. John the Baptist was the same. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Pretty straight preaching, pretty powerful preaching. Repent, get right with God, or be lost for all eternity. In fact, the word perish means to be totally destroyed, totally ruined. So God has given us one option, and that is through repentance to come into the kingdom of God. It's like this is the way into the kingdom. If you want to get into to God's kingdom, you want to get into the kingdom of God, you have to repent. There's no other way of getting in. You can't sneak in through the back door. You can't pop in through one of the side windows. You've got to go through the door of repentance. And that is for every individual on the planet. We have to repent, not only ask God for forgiveness of our sins, but to repent, that is turn away from our sins. It actually means to have a change of thinking. Actually to change your mind with an abhorrence for your past sins. And it actually means to also to change your mind in regard to the will of God for your life. So it is actually beginning to accept the sovereignty of God over your life. Rather than just living your own life and living for yourself, you deciding now, I'm going to repent of my life. I'm going to return away. I'm going to have a change of thinking for the kind of life I'm living. I'm going to change my thinking, and I'm going to start accepting the will of God for my life. And every individual who wants to fulfill the purposes of God, who wants to get to heaven, who wants to see God face to face one day, will have to come up against this question one day. Will I repent before God? Will I have a change of mind? Will I have a change of thinking? Will I have a change of accepting the sovereignty of God and the will of God in my life? And as soon as we do that, we can have acceptance into the kingdom of God. And if we repent of our sins and turn away from our sins, we can receive God into our lives. And so Jesus came preaching a very simple message: repent or perish. And that is for all believers too. We have to repent. We have to turn to God. We have to follow him. We have to pursue him. We have to follow the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and all our strength. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, do I love God with all that is within me? Or am I distracted into other things of the world? Do I love God with everything that is within me, or other things that have enticed me away from God? And we've got to ask ourselves these questions. Do I love God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength? Is he making a difference in my life? Actually, John the Baptist said, bear fruit with repentance. There's no point in just saying, I receive forgiveness of sins, I repent and go back to doing what we're doing before. We have to repent and bear fruit with repentance so that our lives will make the difference for God and make the difference for Christ, so that we are accepted into the kingdom of God and we are accepted into heaven one day. So we've got to ask ourselves these questions. Do we love God? Have we repented and have we turned away from our sins and accepted the sovereignty of God, accepted the will of God? And that actually means laying down our own lives. You remember what Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to pick up your own cross. You've got to pick up your own cross. You have got to deny yourself, and then you've got to follow me. So that is quite a big ask, isn't it? Jesus said, I want you to deny yourself. I want you to lay your own life down. I want you to surrender your life so that I can live my life through you. And it's not that God has just come to ruin us. He's actually come to give us a better life. He's actually come to give us more fulfillment. He's come to give us a life that is free from sin. So Jesus came preaching repentance. And he came preaching a powerful message so that we could be free from sin and we could receive his righteousness. So it is a change of heart and mind and soul so that we can be forgiven. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying we could receive forgiveness we can receive freedom from sin. We need to say this morning, have I had my sins forgiven? If God is providing forgiveness for sins, are my sins all totally forgiven? Well, the Bible says that we can be totally forgiven. We can receive total forgiveness for all of our sins. And so Christ has provided this by his death on the cross. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, who is a sinner? Many people think, well, I've never sinned. Or I've never done anything really wicked. I've never sinned against God. Well, let's just look into our hearts this morning. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So people say, you know, people ask the question quite often, say, well, do you think you're quite a good person? You know, do you think you're quite a good, morally good person? Oh, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. And then you start to probe into their lives. You say, well, have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah, sure, I've told quite a few lies. Well, what does that make you? Okay, that makes you a liar. You know, have you ever stolen anything? Well, even a paperclip or some things from work? Yeah, I've probably stolen a few things in my life. What does that make you? That makes you a thief. And then the list goes on, you know. Have you ever cheated? Have you ever lied? Have you ever... And the list goes on and on. Suddenly we realize, actually, I thought I was a good person, but actually, I do need forgiveness, and I do need to receive forgiveness in my life. So no matter how good we are, we still need to receive the forgiveness of God. So that means we need to repent. We need to ask God for forgiveness and receive him into our lives, because Jesus has provided that forgiveness for us. And receiving the love of God and receiving his cleansing in our hearts. Can God forgive any sin? Absolutely any sin. God is prepared to wipe out any sin that you've done. You've just got to ask him. You've just got to ask him to come in and take it away from you. Say, Lord, I do believe in you. I'm struggling with this sin. Would you please take it away from me? Jesus has the power to remove every sin from your life. Whatever habit that is, whatever bondage that is, whatever thing that is that's controlling you, Jesus has got the power to break it through the power of his Holy Spirit. And through the power of the blood of Jesus, we can receive total forgiveness. That is all the sins we've committed in the past, all the sins we may have committed up to the present day, and all the sins in the future. Jesus came to actually remove the sinful nature. Because David said in the Psalms, in iniquity I was born. I was given birth to in iniquity. We are born sinful. We are born with the need for a Savior. Now Jesus' name, the name Jesus Christ, is a very interesting title. And this gives us a clue to who he is. Well, it's the Jewish name, Yeshua. And also, his second name, which people refer to as Jesus Christ, is not just his second name, like his surname. Like, my name is Keith Wilson. This is a title. It's Jesus the Christ. And it is, in Hebrew, it is Yeshua HaMashiach. That is Jesus the Messiah. Or Jesus, Yeshua the Christ. That is Jesus the Anointed One. Okay, let's have a look at that this morning. Find out who Jesus is. Jesus is anointed with the Holy Spirit. Right? If you were a king in the Old Testament, in the Jewish days, if anybody was to be anointed and to be placed in a position of kingship, he was to be anointed with oil by the priest with the various perfume that was put into the oil. And the oil was poured onto the head of the king. And it would just come down his face, come onto his beard, come onto his clothes. And it was a very, very beautiful fragrance. And so when the king was anointed with the oil that the priest would put on him, it had five or six different substances. Beautiful, it became a beautiful perfume and a beautiful fragrance. And so that oil came on the head and it flowed down the robes. Flowed down. And so even before you would see the king if you were outside, you would be able to smell that the king is coming. You could smell the fragrance of the king, that the king was on his way, because the wind would have blown the fragrance of the king that he was coming. Well, what does this mean? He had to be anointed with oil. He had to have oil poured on his head. When Jesus came up out of the water, we see that the Holy Spirit, which is what the oil represents, the Holy Spirit comes on him and he becomes the anointed of God. He is filled with the Holy Spirit and he goes into the wilderness. He's filled with the power of God and he fasts and prays for 6 weeks. And then the Bible says he comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit, then he begins to minister to the sick. And Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed by the devil. So that was Jesus' ministry, was to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. Jesus was anointed by God. He was 100% human, but he was also 100% divine. But he had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to destroy the works of the devil. Now we see a lot of the works of the devil in our world today. The Bible says in Acts 10, 38, Jesus went around healing all who were sick and oppressed by the devil. So it's the devil that is bringing affliction and who's bringing sickness upon people, bringing oppression, bringing depression. So many people struggling with mental illness today, and I think a lot of it can be a spiritual oppression. Sometimes it might be a chemical imbalance, it might be some other things, stress at work, but also people can suffer from spiritual oppression. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. That was why he manifested. That's why he came, was to destroy the devil's work and break his power and heal the people. So the Bible says, and all the people that came to Jesus were healed. Isn't that incredible? If we had a place where we could go today, where we could just all be healed, whatever our ailment was, whatever our sickness is. But I want you to know today that Jesus is still healing. He is still healing people. There are thousands and thousands of testimonies of people who have been healed by the power of God. We have seen healings in this church. We've seen people, a person healed of a 40-year stammer. Somebody who was really struggling to talk, God loosed his tongue. We've seen other incredible miracles. People have been healed of cancer and sicknesses and diseases. And Jesus came to do that very thing. And so Jesus was anointed. That is, he had God's special power on him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he came to break the power of the devil and to set people free. And that's also why Jesus came. He's come to set people free, to liberate them from their sins. In fact, whenever Jesus was born in Bethlehem, one of the things that was said about Jesus is that he has come to save his people from their sins. That's right, the Jewish people needed to be saved. And that's right, we also as Gentiles have been brought into the blessing of God, and we too can be saved and we can be separated from our sins. So Jesus was anointed, the anointed deliverer, and he came to set you free. He came to set mankind free. So let's think about it for a minute. So here, for example, we have a drug addict who has been a heroin addict for 25 years. He can't get free. He cannot get free from this habit. He's just totally addicted. His body craves the substance. And he comes to Jesus and he gives his life to Jesus. And in a split second, he's totally set free. How can you explain that? How can you explain a drunkard, somebody who's been on alcohol for 30 or 40 or 50 years, and suddenly they come to Jesus and he totally and radically sets them free? Somebody who's maybe been addicted to pornography and they can't get free of it, they just can't stop it, they come to Jesus, he sets them free totally and utterly. How does he do it? These are testimonies all over the world, we hear regularly how Jesus is delivering people from things that are too strong for them, from habits and sins and bondages that are too strong for them. But this is why Jesus came. He came to set us free from ourselves, from our own sins, from our own iniquities. That's why Jesus came, is to set us free from things that bind us and bring freedom to our mind, freedom to our heart, freedom to our bodies. He came to liberate mankind and to give us a more abundant life, so when we put our trust in him, he frees us from our sins. Now Jesus mentions this, or it's mentioned about Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, and I think it's 6 and 7. It says, "Now unto him who has freed us from our sins by his blood." So how do we get freed from our sins? If we're living in sin and there's sin in us, how do we get free? The Bible says that Jesus has freed us from our sins by his blood. So when we put our faith and our trust in him, he applies his blood to us, and then that blood cleanses us and purifies us. We can't see it in the physical realm. It's something that happens in the spiritual realm. God applies it to our lives, and we are freed from our sins. So our old nature is gone. The old nature, the sinful nature that we had, has gone. God has taken our sinfulness. And now the Bible says he begins to put righteousness into you. He begins to put his righteousness, his goodness, his blessing, his Holy Spirit into us. And he frees us from our sins so that we can now go and free other people from their sins by preaching the same gospel and telling them the good news. In fact, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sins. Now, you probably know that the Jewish people used to do animal sacrifices to God because that blood covered the sins of the people. That blood covered the sins. It was an atonement. It was a covering for their sins. But then there is somebody who is going to come, who is going to remit sin and remove sin once and for all. The Bible refers to him as the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to take your sin and my sin, to free you from sin, to free you from a heart that just wants to sin and wants to do wrong, that wants to lust, that wants to greed, that wants to be arrogant, that wants to just do its own thing. Jesus came to set us free from ourselves. And that is why he came. He is the anointed deliverer, the one who came to free us from our sins. So how did he do this? We see that Christ is crucified on the cross. We see on his head a crown of thorns. We see that he's pierced in his head. We see that for all the oppression that mankind suffers, all the affliction, the mental affliction, there is Jesus with the crown of thorns hanging on the cross, but taking the crown of thorns to take all the oppression of mankind. And I promise you, friends, there is a lot of oppression. There is a lot of discouragement. There is a lot of oppression. There is a lot of affliction. And so people might be physically well, but mentally they can be just all screwed up. And in their mind they can be oppressed and afflicted and tormented. And a lot of this can come from Satan. Now, a lot of people in the West now, they don't even believe in demons. They don't even believe in evil spirits. So, no, we don't believe in that sort of thing. Well, in the Bible days, Jesus is constantly casting out evil spirits. I promise you there's evil spirits in our world today. I've cast some out in our own church, and I've cast them out in other places and other ministries I've been involved in. And there are people who are oppressed in their mind. But Jesus bore the crown of thorns. He took that crown of thorns so that he could take the suffering of the mental anguish and all the mental distress that people are going through today. He's taken it, and the Bible says instead of that oppression, instead of that terrible mental health problems that our society is suffering. He's saying, I'm going to give you peace instead. I'm going to give you my love. I'm going to give you freedom in your mind. You know, there are so many people cannot sleep at night. There's so many people afflicted in their hearts, in their minds. They're tormented with horrible dreams and afflictions and torment. And Jesus came to free us from these things. And very often it's the devil that's afflicting people and oppressing people. And in our society, many people say, oh, just go to the doctor and get some more tablets. That is not necessarily the solution if you've got a spirit that's oppressing you. If you've got a spirit that's afflicting you, you need to get set free. And Jesus came to set those people free. He came to free us from our sins and free us from Satan's power. Because Satan has ruled in the hearts and minds of people. So many people that Satan has ruled in this, they just say, I don't even believe in God. I don't even believe there's a heaven. Don't believe there's a hell. He has so deceived them, they don't even believe there is a devil. They don't even believe in evil spirits. And I have seen people manifesting with evil spirits. It's a very real thing. When a spirit comes into a person, that person needs to be set free by the power of Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit will release them and will set them free. So praise God, He has offered us peace of mind instead of torment. He's offered us peace in our hearts instead of affliction. He's even offered us peace in our bodies. Because the Bible says a heart at peace gives life to the body. So He came to free us from the oppression of Satan. So who is Jesus? He is the anointed deliverer. His name is Jesus the Christ. He's Jesus the anointed one. He's Yeshua, the word Joshua, which means deliverer or the bringing salvation. He came as the anointed deliverer. He came to set us free from Satan's power, came to set us free from Satan's affliction, and to free us so that we could live a life that is abundant, a life that is blessed, a life that is charged with the Holy Spirit, that is full of love, full of grace, full of power, and full of the blessing of God. Do you believe this morning? It's really important that we believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to free our society. And we're always trying to look for solutions for our society. And I believe that Jesus is the answer to our world today. If we get Christ's rule, Christ's kingdom in our hearts, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. So at one point, you're not in the kingdom. When you accept Christ, then the kingdom is within you. Christ comes in. He's the king that comes to rule our hearts. The kingdom is within you. And what is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's right. Jesus came to fill you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He came to fill your life with joy. He came to fill your life with abundance of the grace of God so that you could fall in love with God. That's exactly what God's plan is, that you would love Him and enjoy His presence and worship Him. Because Jesus is also the great creator. Now, Jesus is on earth as a man. He's walking around as a human being. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's opening the eyes of the blind. But the Bible tells us that He's also the great creator. Now, I want to read to you a passage here, which is found in the book of Hebrews. So that's in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. And these are incredible words which help us to realize that Jesus is not just the anointed Messiah or anointed Christ of God, but He is also the Creator. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets and many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. That's right. Jesus made our universe. That's incredible. He comes down to earth as the God-man. He shows us the way to the Father. He shows us how to be saved, because we all need to be saved. We all need to be saved from ourselves, from our sin. We also need to be saved from Satan, whom the Bible says is the deceiver of the nations of the world. He says, come and just enjoy yourself. Come and feast on the abundance of this world. There's no hell. There's just enjoy yourself. He deceives the world. So we need to be saved from his deception. We need to be set free from Satan and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and be set free in our lives, but also come to know him as our Creator. So we see here that the writer of the Hebrews is saying the Son of God has been appointed heir of all things, and it says that also through Jesus God made the universe. That's before he came down as the Son of Man. Before he came down to earth, he was the great creator at the Father's side. And what else does he say here in Hebrews chapter 1? It also says in the next verse, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, that is Jesus, the Son of God, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That is, the whole universe is held together because Jesus has spoken the word. Jesus has created our world with the spoken word. He's also created this world by the power of his hands. And he made all the stars, all the planets. He has made the whole universe. And he holds it together by the power of his word. This is Jesus Christ. This is our Savior. This is Jesus who came into our world to rescue us, to redeem us. The cross and the crucifixion is the most critical event that ever happened in the history of mankind. Because there on the cross, Christ deals with the sin of the world. There on the cross, Christ is crucified for your sins and my sins. And it's the place of freedom. It's the place of atonement. It's the place where your sins get dealt with. So by faith you say, Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again. I believe he was crucified on the cross for my sins. And he came to free me from my sins. He came to set me free. And you know, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, didn't he? Those religious leaders were probably the worst people in the day, because they were total hypocrites. Yes, the religious rulers who studied the Bible, who said their long prayers in front of everybody, and Jesus said, you bunch of hypocrites. Why? They were trusting in their own righteousness. That is probably one of the worst things, is that they say, oh, well, you know, Abraham is our father, Moses is our father, you know, we're pretty good people, I think we're going to make it into heaven. And Jesus said, you're not. You're no way you're going to make it. And that is one of the worst things, where we can just say, I'm a pretty good person, yeah, I reckon I'll make it. You will never make it on your own, friend. You will only make it through Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No way should you ever accept the fact that we are good enough to get there. There is none good, Jesus said. We will never make it on our own. We need forgiveness, friends. We need to be forgiven. Jesus said there is none good. We all need cleansing. We all need purifying. If we want to see a holy God one day, Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. And so that means repentance, it means cleansing, it means we've got to lay down our lives for God, and he will give you a new life. He'll take away the old nature, he'll take away all the horrible stuff. You know, we had a young girl come here, and her name was Haley, and she had been a drug addict for a long time, and she was suffering psychosis. And she was down to about 6 stone, and she came to tell her story of what happened. She actually saw people coming into her room. It wasn't real, but she actually saw people moving around and coming into her room. And she, her mind was so messed up. You would not believe the testimony of Haley today, how healthy she is, how happy she is, and how totally restored her mind is. God has healed her. God has the power to heal you, friend. Hayley is totally restored today. She's actually the leader of a drug rehabilitation center. God has done an amazing work in her life. She's put on weight. She looks really healthy and strong. She looks really blessed from having just been so skinny, 6 stone, and just psychosis and terrible mental health problems. She's healed today, friends. She's totally healed by the power of Jesus. Only Jesus can do this. Only God has the power to heal our hearts, heal our minds, and to prepare us for heaven. Now is the time, friends, where we need to get ready, for Jesus is returning soon. Now is the time where we've got to prepare our hearts to meet with God. You know, in Northern Ireland where we lived, there was one town where somebody had written along the bridge, they'd written, "Prepare to meet thy God." And it's a good statement. And we've got to prepare to meet him. We've got to prepare, and our hearts and minds and souls have got to be ready. The most awesome thing in all our lives will be to stand before God. Nobody else will be there. It'll just be you and God to stand before him and account for your life. Prepare to meet God. Now is the time of preparation. Now God is giving us the chance to get ready. Now is the time to prepare our life to meet God. We don't know when he's going to come. Jesus will return again. And one moment we will be in the presence of God. We will be there standing before him. It could happen far sooner than we expect. It has happened to many people far sooner where their lives have been taken out. Look at our own nation. Over 40,000 people have been taken out with this virus. Maybe most of those people were never ready to meet with God. Maybe they never got time. They were put straight on a ventilator and they were so sick. And maybe they never got time. But friends, you've got time to get right with God. Prepare your life now. Get right with God. Open up your heart and say, "Lord Jesus, I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want you in my life, Lord. If you are real, Lord Jesus, please come to me. Please visit me. Take away my sins. Let me know the Father. Let me know what Keith is talking about today is the truth. Let me know the truth and let me receive your forgiveness." Because God is a loving God. He's a gracious God. He will receive anybody who comes to him. So friends, I want to encourage you today. Put your faith in the Lord. Put your trust in Jesus. Have faith in him, and you'll see amazing miracles come into your life in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for all who've listened to the Word of God today. And I ask you to bless them, Lord, and just to encourage them, Father. Lord, I just pray you open up every heart, every mind, every soul, every spirit to receive you, Lord, because you are so wonderful, Father. You are a gracious God. You're a loving God. You're the God who comes to give us more than we ever expected, Lord. So, Father, bless everyone today with your presence, Lord. Bless everybody, we pray, that is listening to these words. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.